All right. Ladies and gentlemen, first off, I want to thank Dr. Mohammadi, and I want to thank your esteemed Excellency, the President of this country, for his courage to convene this conference, to have the foresight and the courage to convene a conference to offer free speech on the most repressed idea in the world, Holocaust revisionism. We must remember that the main theme of this conference, as stated by Iran's president, is the vital human right of freedom of speech and a condemnation of the shameful imprisonment of European scholars and academics who simply dare to share their opinions of historical events that occurred over 60 years ago. I also want to thank the President for inviting me, as controversial as I am. I was a former member of the House of Representatives in Louisiana, in the United States of America. And the media lies about me with about the same enthusiasm that they lie about your president here in this country. He will be condemned somewhat for having me here, as I, as a former American official, will be condemned by the Zionist influenced press in America for coming here in peace and friendship to a nation that they hate, the nation of Iran. But we at this conference have decided that no longer will we let the Zionists dictate to us. They shall not dictate to us who will be our friends. They will not dictate who will be our enemies. Nor will we permit them to dictate to us only their version of the past. And we will certainly not let them dictate to us our future. Let me say from the outset that I'm no disloyal American. I love my country and my people. But I know that the Zionist extremists lead my country to catastrophe in the Middle East and elsewhere around the world. I know that the Palestinian people, the Lebanese people, even the American people have been sacrificed on the altar of the Holocaust. It is the chronic media and government playing of the Holocaust that has blinded our eyes to new Holocausts and new outrages. As a truly patriotic American, I oppose Americans being killed or maimed by the thousands in Iraq in a war not for America, but for Israel. I'm here because I love my country and oppose those who lead America and the world to ruin on behalf of Zionism. In Iraq, too, Americans and countless Iraqis have been sacrificed on the ideological altar of the Holocaust. For the Holocaust, in its chronic recital, is used as justification for any Israeli treachery or crime against humanity or any excess even against the American people or any people on earth. The Zionist influence media in America and Europe is trying to mislead the United States and Iran toward a war that would be catastrophic for your country, for my country, and for the world. Here, too, images of a Holocaust against Jews are used to justify and promote a terrible war against Iran, a war that would constitute a new Holocaust, one against the Iranian people, and indeed for all the people of the world. How little can we trust the establishment press on the Holocaust is illustrated by the lies told about your esteemed president. This morning I read a story in the Herald Tribune about this conference from a European newspaper that stated, and I quote, that your president called for, quote, wiping Israel off the map. Now this assertion has been made in literally thousands of newspaper articles and radio and TV news reports all over the world. But all those here know that such a translation of a speech is nothing but a big lie. He never said anything of the kind. Any proper translation of a speech shows that he never called for Israel to be, quote, wiped off the map. But millions of people in the West and around the world have heard this so many times they believe it. Whatever might be the ultimate truth of the Holocaust, how can we learn it from a press that reports 5,000 times a lie about your president that anyone with an Iranian English dictionary can disprove in 5 minutes? In short, their ability to sell this easily disproven lie shows that the media can get away with almost any lie, even the most preposterous one. And some Western nations, to diverge even slightly from the Holocaust orthodoxy, will cause the historian to face not only a loss of academic career, but also even in prison. Right now, as I speak, three names come to mind immediately. David Irving, Ernst Zundel, Gemma Rudolph. These three men, scholars, researchers, intellects, who their opponents dare not debate, these nonviolent, kind, and gentle men sit behind dark prison walls at this very moment for simply daring to speak their conscience, for expressing the world's most forbidden opinion. Perhaps the hypocrisy is illustrated by the devotion of Europe to freedom for the vilest kinds of pornography. Every kind of the sickest pornography is allowed in the Western world today, including pornography that delves into the most depraved forms of sadism and masochism and the most vile degradation of women. Yet these forms of pornography are legal and even lucrative in the West. But if you dare to research and offer a dissenting opinion about any aspect of the event singularly called the Holocaust, it's off to prison for you. It's bankruptcy for you and your family. In Europe, it's amazing. You know, you can freely question, ridicule, and deny Jesus Christ. The same is true for the prophet Muhammad, and nothing will happen to you. Heck, you might even get your own television show after you do. But after a single question of the smallest part of the Holocaust theory, you will face prison. How can it be that the Holocaust now is protected and defended more than God? What is our new God in the West? What is the new power that rules over us? David Irving, one of the world's most famous and well-read historians, a writer with many mainstream historians saying that he is a brilliant and accurate historian, at this moment sits in prison near Vienna for simply stating his historical opinion about Auschwitz in a lecture in Austria in 1989. German researcher chemist Gemma Rudolph faces years of imprisonment for simply publishing a detailed forensic analysis that challenged the authenticity of alleged Auschwitz gas chambers. Ernst Zundel, a resident of Canada in the United States, was ripped from his wife and home because he had politically incorrect opinions about the events of the Second World War. I've been honored to know personally all three of these men. They are kind, witty, humorous, men of family, of decency. None of these men were hateful or advocated hate. None of these men were violent or advocated violence. None of these men were terrorists or supported terrorists. None of these men did anything other than to express intellectual opinion at variance with the high priest of the Holocaust. All these men did was have courage to express their opinions, even though they knew that by doing so, everything they held dear was endangered. Their safety, their sustenance, their freedom. But they chose their conscience and they chose their honor, even at the risk of life. Even at the risk of their own heart being stilled forever by the threats of our enemies. Some of the brave men are here today in this conference who have been jailed, physically attacked, lost reputation, freedom, property, career, simply for speaking their conscience. I see a number of them in the room as I look out right this moment. I want to honor one of the men here for his sacrifices over the years and his obedience to his conscience and to truth. A man who is laid in a hospital bed, burned by acid, all his bones crushed, all for doing what his intellect dictated and his conscience demanded. A professor of comparative literature. He is Dr. Robert Parson, and we here in the world would like to say that we owe him a debt as the father of a lot of the most recent revisionism. And I'd like to stand for a moment and honor Dr. Parson and his sacrifices. Please stand with me. That there must be freedom of speech on this subject as on all others. Free speech, inquiry, and debate are the only way to learn the truth about this issue. In persecutions of Holocaust questioners, authorities have not allowed introduction of any evidence supporting the defendant's claims. The courts have even announced in their guilty verdicts that the, quote, that the truth is no defense. In other words, even if the defendant can be shown to be honest and accurate, even if his claims can be substantiated by physical and documentary evidence, he has broken the law simply by questioning aspects of the official Holocaust story. I believe that those whose lives are devoted to the study on this issue have the right to make the final determination of whether there is truth or untruth in the Holocaust. I have an unshakable position on freedom. Obviously, Jews as well as other nationalities suffered great losses during the Second World War. Repression, dispossession, or murder against any group is wrong. Revisionists don't deny that many Jews died and suffered greatly in the war. They condemn any and all injustices done to Jews in that period. It must also be understood that throughout history, the historical treatment of atrocities or crimes against humanity have often been colored by political purposes. Throughout history, some crimes against humanity have been exaggerated and emphasized to justify political agendas and even warfare against other nations. Other crimes against humanity have even been completely ignored or downplayed. An example is the contrast between the crimes of National Socialist Germany and that of Soviet communism. Most researchers readily acknowledge that Bolshevism imprisoned, tortured, and slaughtered many more times people in Russia and Eastern Europe than even the high numbers alleged in the Holocaust. Yet, the Soviet Holocaust receives not 1/100 of the attention that the Jewish Holocaust receives. Nothing in the media. Can anyone here think of even the name of one movie about the victims of the Bolshevik Holocaust? And yet most of you can name 5 or 10 movies at least about Jewish victims of the Second World War. Revisionists suggest that an exaggeration and saturation of the Holocaust has been essential to the establishment and support of the Zionist state in Israel, and that it offers a psychological excuse for the large-scale ethnic cleansing, repression, torture, and genocide against the Palestinian people. Revisionists argues that this vested interest of much of the pro-Zionist media and pro-Zionist governments affords a danger that the Holocaust can be distorted and politicized, just as many historical crimes against humanity have either been exaggerated or diminished in pursuit of political agendas. I and every speaker at this conference believe in freedom of speech on all historical and contemporary issues. We believe in freedom of speech, conscience, opinion, and expression. It is the opponents of this conference who clearly don't believe in freedom of speech and conscience. It is they who have thrown elderly men and women into prison for years for simply expressing their heartfelt opinions. Yet instead of condemning these tyrants, the media even celebrates the imprisonment of human beings who dare to question. Freedom of speech is important for two reasons, and I close with these comments. First, freedom of speech is a vital human right. It is the cornerstone of all other rights. Because without freedom of speech, no one has the right to even freely know and learn the abrogation of the other rights affecting human freedom and survival. That is why the American Founding Fathers put freedom of speech, press, and religion as the first and highest of the Bill of Rights. Second, freedom of speech and debate are absolutely vital for the truth to prevail. If one side of any controversial issue can suppress the voice of opposition, we cannot arrive at certainty in any truth. If academics and citizens can be career and monetarily blackmailed, if they can be threatened with firings, loss of income, imprisonment from simply sincerely pursuing an historical inquiry and publishing it, how can the truth be discovered? How does one even know the real revisionist opinion if that opinion is repressed? I'm going to close by exposing one term they use. They often use the term Holocaust denier to describe those people who have questions about the Holocaust. Denial is a term associated with guilt. The boy denied he stole the penny. The criminal denied he broke the law. It's a guilty association. It was a term coined by Simon Wiesenthal. And the media has rushed out to describe people who have questions as deniers. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not a denier to question ideas, thoughts, periods of history, concepts, principles. You're not a denier. You are a questioner. And in the West, questioning is supposed to be good. Questioning is how all men and women arrive at the truth. The truth is, the true deniers on this issue are not the men and women of revisionism. The true deniers are those who want to deny the precious human right of freedom of speech and freedom of conscience and freedom of heart and freedom of spirit. They are the deniers. And that's why we're at this conference. Because we are not going to let the deniers rule this world, control our history, and control our future. Thank you very much.
We have only 7 minutes for question and answer. If anyone, and this is the time for, if anyone has any comments, could be here for about only 7 minutes. You have, after 7 minutes, you have questions.
Please.
My question is for the speaker from your essay.
Yes, ma'am.
For example, Senator Hillary Clinton is well known for being pro-Palestinian since she was 17 years old. And then when she was wife of president, she made a pro-Palestinian speech. But because of the Jewish lobby, when she gets elected in 2008, she would have to bow down, to kowtow to the Jewish lobby. What are you going to, you have 200 million population. What are you going to do about the Jewish lobby? Are you going to wait another 100 years?
Well, I can tell you one thing. Those Americans who love freedom and who don't want to see our country being destroyed, and our country, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a catastrophe in Iraq. We've had 30,000 American boys either maimed or killed. We keep alive many more than we used to in the war, but they're coming back maimed. We spent over $750 million now. We'll spend trillions in that war. I mean, I'm against the power of Zionism, not because I'm anti-American. I love my country. I know that my government's controlled, like many other governments are controlled. Now, as far as Hillary Clinton's concerned, she's no friend of the Palestinians. She's no friend of anyone. She says what she thinks is politically right at the time. She recently in New York made a speech basically calling for a war against your country, against Iran, if Iran doesn't submit to the demands of Bush, basically, and the other communities about nuclear power in this country. She is no friend of yours. The Democrats are much like the Republicans. My book, Jewish Supremacism, which is available on my website, is davidduke.com. That's an easy website, davidduke.com. Details the fact of the Clinton administration and other administrations. In fact, during the Clinton administration, the Israeli newspaper, Maariv, wrote an article, a major article, and it said, the Jews who run Clinton's court. And in this article from Israel, they said, it's inaccurate to say any longer that America has a government of goyim, a government of Gentiles. Because it said Jews are in the key position-making powers all up and down the American government. That was La Marie. And they were talking about the majority. So you don't really have any hope necessarily for the Democrats, but you do have hope from people rising up. There are people like me in my country. In Louisiana, in a state the size of Austria, about the same population, I got over 65% of the European-American vote for senator and governor. So there are some people out there who disagree with the government, and we've got to reach them. I've got to work harder, but please understand that my government's controlled like many other governments. Thank you.
I'm from Russia. My name is Viktor Nadein Rayevsky, and I haven't found me in the list, though I have sent my presentation here to the background. Wow. And I want to add some words for Mr. Duke on Stalin and his repressions. Please don't say that Russia does not pay attention to this. hundreds and hundreds of books are written already about Stalin, his repression, and terrible genocide in many people of our country. That's us.
You should like what I'm saying, because I did mention the Russian Holocaust. I did mention the terrible murders that existed in Russia, and that has been whitewashed. I didn't say 100 million died there. I believe tens of millions of people died in Russia. And what I said was 100 times more coverage exists in Western media of the so-called Jewish Holocaust than exists in Western media about the so-called Russian Holocaust. And finally, and one point that should be brought up, since you're bringing up this subject, Solzhenitsyn, who I consider to be one of the greatest men of the 20th century, and even of this century, still alive, I've met him a couple of times. He wrote a great book called Gulag Archipelago 2 and other books. And in Gulag Archipelago 2, he pictures the six top administrators of the Soviet death camps in Russia. Nagoda, Solz, Berman, they were all Jews. And Bolshevism, believe it or not, was overwhelmingly led by Jews. In my book, I have documents from the American government, intelligence officers in Russia, stating that the first Russian government out of 384 commissars, they only had 13 ethnic Russians and over 300 Jews. But the media doesn't talk about this Holocaust. And secondly, when you talked about the crimes of Stalin, it wasn't just Stalin. You can go back to Lenin, who Jewish publications claim Spartan Jewish, and Trotsky, whose real name was Bronstein. And the last thing I'll say to tie it all in, the so-called neoconservatives in the United States of America who've launched the Iraq War, who are trying to start a war against this country, a catastrophic war against your country. They are what you call Trotskyites. The founder is Leon Strauss. This is not a myth. They are followers of the first head of the Red Army, Leon Trotsky, Lev Bronstein. That's the founders of neoconservatism. They've even opened the same prisons that the Soviets used to torture people, and now we're torturing people in those prisons. We have the same problem. Russia is now much freer than it was. It's now America has adopted this thing. And I'm with you. I'm for the freedom of the Russian people, the freedom of all people. And the only way we'll be free is when we defeat the power of Zionism. Thank you so much.